Happy first fruits day.
Right.
The first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits.
That's right.
He's the first fruits to be raised from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
Resurrected. So that one day we will be the second fruit. We will be the third fruit, the fourth fruit, right?
Yeah.
But I appreciate what praise, worship. You know, there's power in praise. There's power in praise. You just go around praising God, you know, just go around praising God all the time and see what happens. Man, your life will change. Satan will flee. Satan will flee.
Like a cockroach when you turn the lights on.
Well, let's continue to worship
Lean
God.
Candace,
sing the song. All right.
Right. goodness. The song is called God of Calvary. It's by Chris Tomlin. So,
that's good.
And it's about the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. So if you want to stand up,
yeah, King of Glory is here.
And bring him into
what would you do
today,
if your president was here? King of Glory is here. So we stand. Ha ba ba ba. The
great divide he crossed for me. The great divide he crossed for me. Oh, praise the God of Calvary. Your empty tomb is all I need to see. The living God of Calvary. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To your name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise we give you glory, God. Honor, and praise.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord just told me the perfect picture of the Trinity is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, the God of Calvary.
The words here.
The
said,
holy, holy, holy.
It said,
holy obedience.
The cross is all I need to see, but it's the empty tomb.
Ooh, yes.
That's the most important thing to me.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I had to change some words.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. All of you, the power of the cross.
Praise
blood. Hallelujah.
God is funny. Praise the Lord. It's a good day.
Amen.
It's a good day to celebrate.
Amen.
Amen. It's a good day to celebrate.
Yes, amen.
It is the resurrection of our Lord that we celebrate.
Yes, Lord.
It gives us confidence. It gives us confidence. That separates our, quote, religion from everybody else's.
Yeah. We have a risen God.
You know, you want to go look at the tomb of Muhammad? You can do that. The tomb of Buddha, anybody else you want to. They all got bones in them. But our Lord was laid in a new tomb. Nobody else in it. Nobody else in it. There was nothing else in there. You know, what they do in those tombs and caves is that when they start out, they just dig out what they need. And then as more people die, they dig out more and more room, you know, for the bones and everything. But he was in there with no one else. No one else. You couldn't claim any Elisha on him. You remember Elisha? Elisha died and was buried. And later on, they were had a battle, I guess it was, wasn't it? A battle, and somebody died. So they were in a hurry, so they threw him in there in the tomb on Elisha. With Elisha, the guy came back to life. Oh, wow. You know. Yeah, isn't that something? So, but that didn't happen with Jesus. Because there were no bones in there. You see, you can't even claim that on. Oh, Jesus. He was in a new tomb, but there were no bones. Isn't that great? Wonderful. That's great. Okay, we've been talking about... We've been talking about the last week of Jesus' life. And I'm seeing that the clock is not working, so someone's, you know, with 5 minutes till and 4 minutes till, you're going to have to raise your fingers up for me, all right, Brother Thurston? Yeah, I see the clock. It's a battery or something, I guess, is gone in it.
Jesus.
What I wanted to do was... First off, I wanted to hand you this out. I don't know if I handed this out before or not. If I did, you got another one. If I did, it's high time I did.
Oh, good.
This is a thing I got off the internet. I didn't do this myself. But it's a rundown of the last week of Jesus' life that this guy has done. And if you flip it, you know, if you flip it over like this, you'll see all the scripture passages that he's got, and he's got footnoted here. He's got 1, 2, 3, you know, you'll see the 1, 2, 3s as you read through here. And then you can turn it over and see the scripture passages where he can, where he's, who he got that from. He's kind of put it all together. And so, one of the things I wanted to, let me see, I'm going to have to keep a track on the time, see if I have time to do all this. 9 o'clock. Yeah, I think I can work through some of this anyway. Okay, so we've kind of talked about the other days. We're at Thursday now, okay? So on Thursday, if you'll see here, during the day on Thursday, there's not a whole lot he's got in here. All right? There's not a whole lot in here that he's got in here for the day. It says they had the Passover lamb, they had their Seder and meal together. One of the things that we know happened pretty much, I think it was that day. Makes more sense that it happened that day. And probably it happened in the afternoon. Is that Zebedee's wife, all right, the mother of James and John. James and John had kind of taken her over to the side and say, hey, go and do something for us, you know. Go and ask Jesus if we can sit down in his right hand and his left hand when he comes into his kingdom. They were pushing for a position, right? And so she did. She went and asked Jesus, you know. And Jesus said, you know, he's, that's for my father to decide. It's not for me to decide. And, well, the other disciples heard it, and they got all been out of shape. All been out of shape.
The thought of James and
John. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And so they were all arguing over who was going to be the greatest, who was going to be the greatest, you know, in the kingdom, who was going to have those positions. Yeah. I think I ought to have it because I'm special or whatever, I don't know. So anyway, they were all been out of shape about James and John doing this. And so when they go into how their Passover meal, it says that after the supper, Jesus had to deal with this. Because that you know, that puts a cloud, you know, the attitude of people can put a cloud over things. Like the attitude we had just a few moments ago, it put a cloud. You know, it was a cloud of praise and worship, though. It was a good cloud, okay? It was a good cloud. But the disciples were kind of at each other, you know. And that was not a good cloud. And so so Jesus got up from supper and went over, got the water. And you know what happened. He went and washed everybody's feet. And so, you know what happened and everything. So what supper were they at? He just finished a meal. Well, we call it the Last Supper, right?
Passover.
Yeah, today, Jews celebrate using a Seder, okay?
That's what it is. What is that?
What's that?
Seder. Is that the meal?
That is the Passover feast that the Jews celebrate today.
And that's what they call it.
That's what they call it today, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that particular term, Seder, was used at the time of Jesus. Okay, but it's used today, all right? So the word is Seder, S-E-D-E-R. We'll use that one well. S-E-D-E-R, okay? And if you've never been to, anybody here ever been to one? You've been to one, okay, that's good.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. The Passover meal, and actually, there's been a lot of changes to the Passover meal through the years, through the 2,000 years, all right? So the Jews have some little traditions that they do, all right, that weren't in the original Passover meal, okay? In fact, even the one that Jesus had was, you know, so many years away from the Exodus, you know, which is hundreds of years after the Exodus. So even that meal was probably a little bit different than the original Passover meal that the Israelites had in Egypt. But that's, you know, it's okay. Things change. We change, right? So I wanted to point out to you a few things about this, though. As we look at this, the Seder, the Passover lamb, They got together, and they had several things that they ate, all right? They ate the Passover lamb. It had to be roasted. It couldn't be boiled, okay? It had to be roasted or barbecued, if you will, all right? I don't know if they had ovens back then, but they, you know, they basically put it on a barbecue pit. They called them altars. Barbecue pit, and they roasted the thing, and then they would eat it. It had to all be eaten, if you remember. And they had to wear their go clothes on, their get ready to go clothes. They had to be ready to go. They had sandals on their feet, everything. When they ate it, also they ate unleavened bread, of course. We're very familiar with that because they didn't have time for letting the bread rise.
Amen.
And they also ate bitter herbs.
Yes.
Bitter herbs, not sweet, nice herbs, but bitter herbs.
Bitter.
And that was to remind them, bring tears to their eyes. They're supposed to eat it and bring tears to their eyes.
It was bitter.
Yes. And so when you say bitter here, is the tears of your eyes. I mean, the first Seder that Muffin and I went to, they had a little dab of white stuff. They said, put a little bit on a cracker and eat it, you know. Of course, we didn't know anything. We had no idea what you did to the Seder. We were just learning. It was brand new, you know. So I put a little bit on the cracker and put it on, you know. And whoa. You know, I almost take my breath away. It was horseradish, okay. And if you've ever had straight horseradish, you know, this was creamy, but it was, boy, it was powerful. I didn't put much on there, you know, but it was... trying to catch my breath, you know. And I've eaten jalapenos, you know, I've eaten hot peppers, but this was a whole different experience. You remember that. But Muffin, she put a big glob on
her. Oh, no.
And she pops it in her mouth. That lady got out and ran out the door in the yard. I mean, literally, she did. And we had to run out after her and say, what's wrong? What's wrong? And so anyway, we still laugh about that, but but yeah, these were bitter, and you did cry. I did cry. I don't cry much, but I cried that night, by golly. I cried. I got tears in my eyes. So. But yeah, they did this, and they remembered the Passover. We're what? Where God delivered them. God delivered them. He rescued them from their slavery, right? He rescued them, and we have this picture of rescue in two names. The first name is Jesus, which is actually Joshua, which actually means God is my rescuer, right? The Lord is my rescuer. The I at the end is short for Yahweh, all right? I am your rescuer, okay? And the other one is Messiah, who was thought of as the rescuer of the nation of Israel. He's going to be the big rescuer, all right? You know, the national rescuer. So those both of those words, you can say, mean rescuer. And they hearken back to that time when God rescued his people, all right? So you got...
Can I ask
sure.
A question? Is anybody cold? Okay,
we're trying to. Okay. So anyway, they had their Passover lamb. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing as you read through, and I wanted to touch base with y'all on this. Yeah. Okay, thank you. 4 minutes. All right. I want to touch base with you on this, in that the Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover meal that night. Well, that was supposedly, what, Thursday night. Okay. But when you find... when they go and they put Jesus on the cross, right? And the Jewish leaders go to Pilate, you know, and they say, look, we need to have him dead before sundown so that we can eat the Passover.
No.
Wait a minute. Jesus ate the Passover, right? Before that. Why are they... Not why did they eat the Passover? Why hadn't they already eaten the Passover? Well, this is kind of a mystery, isn't it? Because they said, look, we cannot deal with this. We've got to have it done so that we can eat the Passover. And so if you remember, they went and they broke the legs, because they'd leave them hanging up for days.
Yeah.
There's somebody on the cross, they'd leave them up for days.
That's right.
But this was special, so they went and they broke the legs of the thieves, so they would go ahead and die. They could take them down and get them buried before the Passover.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't deal with a dead body on a holy day, on the Sabbath, which was a holy day. So here they are, and Jesus, of course, was already dead. You all know about that. Jesus was already dead. They checked him out. They didn't break his legs. But they went in and buried him, right, before sundown. Because the Jews wanted to eat the Passover. But Jesus said, he's already eaten the Passover with his, right, his disciples. So what happened? Why did they have 2 days for Passover? Well, come on now. Why did they have 2 days for Passover? Was something, was one of them wrong? No, they were both right. They actually did have 2 days for Passover. Okay? Jews, and this is what happens when you have a tradition, and it goes on for years and years and years and years. And sometimes people will celebrate things on different days. If you want to see a good example of that, read Esther. If you read Esther 9, okay? If you remember, they had a big time, Haman was going to kill all the Jews on a certain day. And Esther went in and talked to the king, and they got it all turned around so the Jews could actually kill those that were going to kill them. And the day that they were going to kill them was on the 13th. And they wrote and sent it out to all the Jews in all the provinces, all over. 13th is the day, rise up, kill all your enemies before they kill you. And that's what happened. But then something interesting happened. Esther went back and asked the king again, you know, we didn't quite finish the job here in the capital. Can we have another day?
Yeah.
And so he said yes. So on the 14th day, the Jews in the capital city went back and did it all. Well, while they were doing this, the guys in the provinces all around, they didn't know about that, you see, because that particular edict didn't make it to them, right? So they were celebrating the victory on the 14th. The ones in the capital city were still killing their enemies on the 14th. And they celebrated the victory on the 15th. And ever since, okay, the Jews have celebrated Purim, which is that the name of that feast, celebrated that. Some of them will do it on the 14th, and some of them will do it on the 15th. Now, which one's right? They're both right. And it's both of them are acceptable. And to this day, in Jerusalem and in other days, they'll celebrate Purim on the 15th, and other Jews will celebrate it on the 14th. To this day, thousands of years afterwards, what do you think happened with Passover? Something very similar, right? Jesus and his disciples were mainly from Galilee, right? But Jerusalem was what? In Judea. It's a big city, all right? So you can see how people will get things separated, but they're both right. Okay? They're both right. Purim being celebrated on the 14th or the 15th, they're both right. Okay? So don't let that trip you up when you're reading here. There's always an answer. There's always an answer in God's economy, right?
Yes, God's always right.
God is always right. We get our traditions and we change things around sometimes, right? And instead of drinking wine, we drink grape juice, right? And we don't eat the bitter herbs. We don't eat the lamb when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But that's okay. It's all right. We remember the Lord. We remember the Lord's body and his blood. Amen. So I want to give you a little history lesson there. And don't let these things bug you, because it's bugged people for years. You know, they're still haggling over this, you know. How could the Passover be here? And then, you know, da, da, da. Well, it's very simple. And it's okay. Yeah. All right. They're from Galilee. Jews are from Jerusalem. It's okay. All right. All right. Let's pray over our food. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Resurrection Day, Father. Your resurrection that leads to our resurrection, our future resurrection. We are certain that we are going to be resurrected because you were resurrected. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you give us insight into your words and your ways and the ways of men, Father. We just pray that you'll be with us today as we go throughout the day. We may bring honor and glory to your name. We may praise and celebrate just your presence in our lives, Father. The Holy Spirit within us. Our ability to pray in the Holy Spirit, Father, in a way that we can never do on our own. We thank you for communion with you.
Thank you.
Speaking with you. Fellowship with you. We thank you, Father. You are a great and mighty God, and you lead us to victory in all things. Bless the food. May it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And may every word spoken today from the pulpit, Father, from the pulpits across this nation, be truthful, Father, and be encouraging. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.